Sportsnet 960 Mornings with Boomer in the Morning. On Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
All right, let's do this. Good morning, Calgary. 6:03, Boomer in the Morning.
Trending right now in Calgary.
And Tampa Bay Blue 3. I'm ready today, though. Hey, I wasn't caught off guard. I was ready to go.
Trending right now in Calgary.
The Western Conference Final revs up against it. There's nothing quite like a smooth-running radio show.
And professionals
this
here.
And this is nothing like a smooth running radio show.
We get paid to do this.
Yeah.
It's what we do. We're very good at it.
And you know what's crazy? I don't think I could make any more money doing anything else. Usually it's like, yeah, you know, doing this, you don't make a lot. Boy, I could go do something else and make way more money. I'm not qualified to do anything else. I'm too late. It's too late for me.
Yeah, and we're now built into this lazy cycle. Oh, yeah, I wake up early, but we sure do get to sleep before noon again, don't we?
Yeah. You come in, you absolutely kick it around, knock it square for 3 to 4 hours, and then you go home and you get paid for it. It's like, oh, well, you know, you can make more money doing something else. You know, go do some landscaping. I can't do that.
No.
I'm not built for that.
The UV index is much too high for me to be outdoors all day.
Well, what about
you could burn your skin?
What about the trades? Could you, work on building houses or?
Well, that sounds hard.
I don't know math. I can't use a tape measure and a pencil and a saw. I'd cut my fingers off. The house would be leaning to one side. I can't do that.
What about a plumber? I feel like you have some attributes that might
zero. Well, one. I have one qualification, but that's hardly enough to keep me from getting sued. It would actually encourage my getting sued. Oh, well, what about, could you be a fireman? No. Cop? Never.
What about some sort of financial advisor? You good with money?
Terrible. Oh, I mean, yeah, terrible. Wait till you see what I do this weekend. I mean, just terrible with money.
Well, I hear the oil and gas sector is very busy. Is this?
No, it's not.
No, it's not a good
no,
time.
No, and I know nothing about that either.
Really? Except that, you know, premium or
yeah, regular is cheaper than premium. That's right. What I can tell you about oil and gas.
Okay.
So
here we are.
Yeah. So, well, how about those Tampa Bay Lightning? What a game. Did you watch? I'll admit, I've not watched a lot of this series because one, they started a game at like 2 a.m. on Saturday. I'm not getting up to watch that.
That's a bit of an exaggeration, but I do see the point you're making.
Game two. So game two, I caught a bit of that, and it was a lot of the Lightning. And then last night, back and forth and back and forth, it was, I'll say this, an entertaining game. I enjoyed it.
You said it before the six here, where yesterday we were bemoaning the lack of scoring. Well, not last night, friends. I turned on, I was 2-1 at that point, Rangers. Just got off the golf course and picked it up there. Whew. Tampa, man. If you're going to play high-scoring games, Lightning are going to play in the final. If you're going to play 2-1 games, the Rangers have got a shot to go to the final. And this is two in a row now where they've put six up. Hank Lundqvist, you're going to have to be a little bit better, son.
Well, and
that world best title?
I know.
You're losing the belt.
How do you like this one? Lundqvist, I mean, let alone six, five. Let's go with five.
Sure.
He's allowed 5 goals in back-to-back games for just the second time in his career.
Whoa.
And the only one other time happened this season. So not to say he's having a terrible year, but to see him put up back-to-back stinkers, and I don't even know if it was a... I think the Lightning are a really good offensive team. They come at you. And I know John Cooper was talking in the post-game last night about being at ice level and watching this series, watching these two teams. It's the speed of light.
It is. Both these teams can fly.
Unbelievable. It's that whole, you know, just chip the puck off the wall. You've always got guys coming into it. It's just always...
Like, these are Oilers scores. 12 goals against in 2 games?
Yeah.
This is not New York Rangers hockey. With that blue line, With what they've done there, with that netminder, with those forwards that can all skate,
yeah.
How in the world are you allowing six a night? And yet you look at them and you're like, those are all pretty nice snipes from the Lightning.
Snipes. The 21-year-old Kucherov also scored the game-winning goal in the double OT victory in Game 1 against Montreal. Third player ever to score two OT goals in one playoff year before his 22nd birthday.
He also has 9 assists.
And 9. The only the two other players to come up with big goals before 22, the OT winners. Danny Gare. Claude Lemieux.
Oh, Claude.
Yeah.
Is his boy the one of the Jets prospect? He was the one that
That's
came
correct.
Over that deal with the Myers.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have that game. Scene switches to Chicago tonight. And then, of course, the Bab Watch is over. We thought this was a fizzle when it was the greatest plot twist of all time.
It was a swerve for sure.
It was like the series that let you down, but the season finale saved the season.
It was Mike Babcock with the chair shot to the Buffalo Sabres. Came in the ring to shake the Buffalo Sabres' hand and instead threw a handful of some foreign substance into whatever Tim Murray's face.
Laid down the thumbtacks.
And then crushed him with a chair shot.
Bang.
Good God almighty. Look out! Tim Murray left lying in the middle of the ring. Good God.
Mike Babcock! I can't believe he's done it!
Yeah, he turned heel last night. Babcock turned heel on Wednesday Night Raw.
Well, and we had heard that he might have turned heel in Detroit a couple days ago, that the circus was getting a little tired for the Red Wings. Like, hey, how many years in a row we've made the playoffs? Was it 21?
Yeah.
You were here for a few of those, so let's not go suggesting that Mike Babcock has made the playoffs 21 years in a row. We've done this without you. We'll continue to do it without you.
So you know what I did? I sat down this morning, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put together his resume.
Yeah.
To show everyone that he's not so hot. Everyone's all hot and bothered about Mike Babcock. Okay, Mr. Babcock, what exactly have you done? Well, he's been to 3 cup finals, winning 1.
Yeah.
In the Western League, 2 WHL final appearances, didn't win.
With?
Spokane.
Thought so, good.
With the Spokane Chiefs. 2 Olympic golds, a world championship, a Stanley Cup. That's your triple gold club or whatever they call it for the coach.
Yep.
Not many have done that. In fact, he's the first and only thus far to have done that. Hey, you know what?
And he took a tiny program to a CIS national championship that did no business doing. I mean, you're talking about basically playing midgets against pros in terms of skill level. So he's won everywhere. No
he's
question.
A good coach.
Very good coach. He's the best coach in the league.
He's one of the best coaches in the league. Because I don't know how we qualify that, right?
Well, I think what you just said qualifies it. No one else has all those things on their resume.
But if...
Joel Quenneville?
Is he Canadian, Joel Quenneville? Is he from Canada?
I believe.
Let's say it's Lindy Ruff. We know that Lindy Ruff is from... He's from Alberta. He's an Alberta boy.
Sure.
If Lindy Ruff is named the head coach of the men's hockey team in 2010-2014, does Canada have 2 gold medals? Does Lindy Ruff have 2 gold medals?
Yeah, sure. But the point being is that Hockey Canada had their pick of the litter.
I understand that.
They deemed the best coach.
I understand that.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, so world championship, sure, you're going to get some credit there. And yeah, you were handed the reins of Canada's best. I mean, you and I could have won gold in 2014.
For sure. I agree entirely. But here's the thing. This isn't just a coach signing. This is the recalibration that I thought maybe was going to happen and looked like it wasn't. Detroit re-signing him for 3.25 or 3.5, which or whatever their offer was, that's the same universe we already lived in. Toronto coming over the top at 6.25 for 8 years, that's completely different. That would be similar to, let's say, name one of the best players in the NHL or arguably the best player. Let's say Steven Stamkos or Sidney Crosby goes to free agency this summer. If they signed for $22 million, double the previous high, like Ovechkin's making, what, 11? Taves and Kane, 10.5. If someone came in at over $20 million as a player, as a free agent, that's the equivalent of what just happened to the coaching market. Everything has changed from this point forward.
I've said this to you before. I couldn't care less what they're paying them. You know you're going to have to pay them. Salaries go up. That's how the world works.
No, but they don't double overnight. That's what just happened here. Well, they literally just doubled.
In sports, it does happen. Guys get 200 and 250% raises sometimes. Mike Babcock just got a significant raise. There's no doubt about it. But like again,
probably just tripled his salary. But that's crazy.
But what does that mean to anything?
Well, it means to 29 other teams in the NHL, coaching doesn't cost what it used to cost.
But what does that mean? Why do we care? Now
when Bob Hartley's deal comes up, all of a sudden you have to say, is this guy worth $2.5 million? Are you probably going to ask for that?
Are you worried about Murray Edwards' ability to pay Bob Hartley?
No.
Then what are we talking about?
We're talking about a change in the NHL.
To see teams? It's like, geez, we'd like to keep. We would like to keep Barry Trotz, but we can't afford it. I just don't. Is that where we're headed? I don't see that.
Well, a lot of teams couldn't afford Babcock. There's only one that could at the end of the day.
Wow.
Like St. Louis couldn't. San Jose couldn't. At the end of the day, Buffalo couldn't even do it. So it's just interesting that they've now become a commodity where they weren't before. And leave the numbers aside. Leave the numbers aside. Here's an example for you. We never used to see, aside from Mike Keenan once, a coach become a free agent, and that was they would actually think about leaving a culture, a room, and an organization that they'd been in. Coaches were brought in, fired, used as scapegoats, and gone. Now, it's not just the auto re-up will give you another 10%. You're staying here. We might actually see free agency in coaches. Again, that's a completely different universe than what we've lived in.
Sure.
So it was for me, it was a big day for the sport because that's changed. The way coaches are viewed, the way they operate their own business, and the way they operate as a group is different now.
Yeah, I've never cared what a GM makes. I've never cared what a coach makes. To me, what is more interesting is, so the dough is there. But he's now going to Toronto. What was it? Was it just money? Is it just dough?
Gotta be.
Because there was money in Buffalo, probably not to the tune of this. We don't know. But he decided not to go to Buffalo. Was that a hockey decision? And was going to Toronto a financial decision? Can he make them better? Here's the other question. If he doesn't, he did, so it's a moot point. But if he doesn't win that cup with Detroit, because remember, they lost to Pittsburgh the 1 year. They won
the next year.
Would he not be pegged as the coach that couldn't win?
Could be.
Would he not be pegged as, well, what is it about Mike Babcock? I mean, yeah, he goes to the Olympics and World Championships, but he's never been able to take a team over. That would be the knock, because he would have been to 3 cup finals and had not won. Moot point, I understand. I just, how do you get to that point? How do you get to be so much more, to say he's the best coach in hockey? I just don't know where... I don't know where the measurement is for that, aside from resume.
Well, and that's it. And talking to people around the sport, is there a guy that's more well-respected? When Hockey Canada can go and have essentially anyone they want to coach, who do they continually go to? And those guys know more than we do about hockey, let's be honest. Bob Nicholson brought him in for a reason to coach those staffs, to lead them. Ken Hitchcock was his assistant for a reason, not the other way around. Tough to argue with what he's done. I mean... It is the resume.
Yeah,
I
don't want him to fail necessarily, but...
Well, now he's in Toronto, so you kind of do want to see him.
But, well, yeah, it was a heel turn. There's no doubt about it. I think everybody kind of, Mike Babcock, good guy, Canadian guy. He's from Saskatchewan, comes on the show, talks to Red about Mira Lake or wherever the hell they are. And now he said... He gave the middle finger to the Detroit Red Wings and the Buffalo Sabres, went to Toronto and said, hey, what about us? What about me? Let's get it going.
If it was about hockey, he wouldn't be in Toronto. If it was simply the best place to win, it would not be Toronto.
And see, that's what I'm curious about. Is there concern in Toronto over his, what are his motives? What drew him to Toronto?
Well, why does the free agent sign for big dough anywhere? I mean, it's not about the money, but until there's respect bills that people can use at the store, it's about money. he is of the mind that he is so valuable to an organization that he should be far and away the highest coach, highest paid coach in his profession, in the history of the sport. He's done that now. What it's done is put him in an organization that has a lot of issues, that doesn't have a GM yet, that has two boat anchor-sized contracts with Phaneuf and Kessel, that has a culture of losing, and with the most voracious media, maybe in North America in a single market. This is going to be tough.
And what's the one thing that we always make the connotation with Detroit? A, how well they scout, how well they draft, how well they develop. They find diamonds in the rough. They do the right things. Grand Rapids, they're patient. How much did Mike Babcock benefit from that compared to what he's doing now, where it's like, yeah, we're going to rush and we're going to do whatever. Let's trade. It's the 180 to me of what the Detroit Red Wings are.
Sure. If Dave Tippett was in Detroit, maybe he's the best coach in the world, right? Because, of course, that system is built for, like, Detroit's not going to miss a beat. Jeff Blashill is going to come in from Grand Rapids, or they'll get somebody else that they love, and for probably one quarter of the price, they'll get the same results. Because that organization is built on what you just said. Drafting, patience, superb management. Nothing new there. Those have been around for decades in Detroit.
It's funny that a deal this big is done, but I don't think there's anybody saying, oh, well, this is it. This was the best move there now. You know what I mean? When in Edmonton, that's kind of the feel. And I know it's taken a few steps, but it's like, okay, Toronto, well, now what?
It's like, okay, well, that's good, but boy, there's still all these things we have to deal with. This is not the final touch. This is not the closer coming in to guarantee the win out of the bullpen. You just got yourself a front of the rotation arm on a really bad team, essentially. There's a lot of work to be done.
And we've heard a lot, I don't know, universally over the widespread media. But, I mean, working here, we would have conversations. You hear kind of whispers, well, I mean, Mike Babcock, there's an ego there. He's a very confident, ego-driven guy. And I was like, he seems like a good guy. You know, he doesn't seem like one of those guys. He showed yesterday he's absolutely one of those guys.
But I don't know that they're mutually exclusive things.
They aren't.
You can be a good guy with an ego. I believe he's both. I think he's a good coach. He's a good man. But he's also, he's not a guy that's going to say, look, I don't care if people think about me as the best or not. I'm not worried about my legacy. He is worried about his legacy. He does want to be known as the best. And he thinks, if I'm the best in this sport, and there's guys coaching amateur athletics in the States, NCAA football, NCAA basketball, making $9, $7 million a year, why in the world is no one making over three?
Why are you so fixated on money? Well, why can't we just have a hockey conversation?
I'm telling you what Babcock's head's saying. That's where his ego's at. He says, all these other coaches are getting paid. That's amateur athletics. If I'm the best, why am I not making more?
How do you know what he's thinking?
That's what I'm thinking. If you mention ego, and that's exactly where my head goes, is that every other best coach in the world in other sports makes huge dough.
And to me,
hockey's
what it is,
not even close.
To me, what it is all these other guys couldn't bring a cup to Toronto. They couldn't get a winner in Toronto. 67, I'm going to be the guy that gets the cup to Toronto.
That could be it too. Because you're right. If he does it there, there's...
I just don't see a guy making $3.5 million saying, I need more money. I'm going to bring up salaries for all of my coaching fraternity. I just don't see it.
True, but if you're making $3 million a year, it doesn't mean if there's a check for $3 million on the table, you walk away from it. You know, it's
what do you mean?
What I'm saying is, it's very easy for in a position where we don't make millions of dollars to say that, oh, 3 and 6, no difference. Well, if you make...
Well, yeah, from $6 million, then. I see.
Right. But if you're a hockey player that makes $3 million and you just had a great year, why in the world wouldn't you ask for $6 million? All of a sudden, he's a coach, and it's like, whoa, dollar figures. Hang on now. We talk about player salaries all day, every day. They're now becoming a commodity like players.
It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. We will jump out, and would you guys move radio stations? Well, of course we would. But what I'm saying is, what is... If it comes down to ego... If it comes down to when he looks in the mirror, it's like, hey, Mike, what are we doing? Is it for the dough or is it for the potential, you know, luster and sheen that would come from finally bringing granted, you get both, the potential at least to make Toronto a winner, and you certainly do get paid. Mike Babcock, the press conference will be carried live here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan at about 9 a.m. this morning. So just as the Ryan Pinder Hour gets going, we will go to Toronto and pick up that press conference live. Coming back, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Twenty-eight minutes after 6 o'clock. Coming up very soon. In fact, on Monday, I believe, we are going to be drawing the grand prize winner in our Golf with the Guys contest. Golf Central Alberta and Sportsnet has... we've teamed up. And we want to get you out on the... out in the course. Out in the links. Ugh. So many overused golf vernacular. Time to tee it up and swing for a good cause and hit the, take to the links.
You know, if it's actually a links-style course, that's appropriate, but if it's just a course, there's no such links.
Here's how it works. You and three buddies could be off to take part in some Central Alberta golf, and we're going to take you... well, we're not taking you. You're going to have to go by yourself.
It's probably better that way.
We're going to allow you to go, and you're going to play around at Pine Hills Golf Club. Back to Red Deer, stay at the Sheraton overnight. Next morning, wake up, Innisfail, 18. That's how you do it. Again, Monday morning, going to draw the winning name in for that. So if you haven't done it yet, fanclubsportsnet.ca/960 as well. I would encourage y'all to go and check out their website, golfcentralalberta.com. They have a number of different kind of setups, packages. You want to golf 2 nights, 3 days, 3 nights, 4 days, whatever. They can tailor it to your needs. It's what they can do with golfcentralalberta.com.
Want another cliche for golf?
Could you?
The 19th hole.
The 19th
I'll
hole.
I'll see you on the 19th hole.
Hey, hey guys, I'll, you know what? I'll meet you at Mulligan's after the game for a cold one.
How was your game today? Well, I tell you what, wasn't too good till I got to the 19th tee box. Whoa!
Well, you know what they say, you know, bad day golf's better than a good day at work.
Yeah, hey, that's true.
Are you with me, guys?
Oh, huh? That's a good one. There's a few.
There's so many. There's so many.
Yeah.
Why are there so many? There's so many golf cliches and so many ostriches.
Because it's four.
There's
it?
So many ostriches.
I golfed yesterday. I didn't see a single ostrich.
So many.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are there so many ostriches?
There's so many.
This is a terrible vacation.
It's terrible.
Why would you vacation?
When you go to
Pine... there's way too many ostriches.
Nah, when you go to Pine Hills to golf, there will be no ostriches.
The brochure said there'd only be a few ostriches.
Just a few.
We'll talk about more Babcock later.
We're done with it. We'll wait till Retro gets in. He could have been our insider, but he's too busy thinking about fishing.
Well, I think in fairness,
break any news.
Might have been hard getting through to Babcock yesterday.
I
would think he probably put the phone on silent. Maybe didn't. I'm not taking any calls today. Unless it's Brandon Shanahan. Then, put Shanny through.
New phone, and just program in Terry Pegula, Brandon Shanahan. Let those two fight it out.
Yeah. Poor Buffalo. I mean, come on.
Buffalo.
I know this is their history, and why should we be shocked now? But that is rotten. No Connor McDavid, no Babcock. I mean... hey, they're going to get the number two pick, and Eichel may be a terrific player. Yeah. But they got Evander Kane, and he's going to mess things up. And they now traded away Tyler Myers, who's a stud. Anyway, what are we seeing with Tampa Bay and the Rangers? The Lightning putting up six on Henrik Lundqvist.
Twice
that
in a row.
Doesn't happen. No. Mentioned it earlier. First time ever in his career. Well, it's, second time. In his career, he's allowed more than five or more in back-to-back games. It's just not what he does. It's not who he is. But they've found a way to get to him. All of a sudden now, Steven Stamkos has 5 goals. Andre Palat, I know they were talking about it last night, the 200 and whatever something pick in the NHL draft. So you got number 280 whatever, Mr. Undrafted Tyler Johnson.
He's too small to play.
And they're just tearing it up. That line... Where's my email here?
Just go ahead and search triplets. No, you wouldn't like that.
It makes me want to chew off my own face.
25 goals.
The triplets
season.
Line. 25 goals. They've basically taken the Palat, Kucherov, Johnson line and compared it to the rest of the Tampa Bay Lightning forwards. So those three donkeys have 25 goals. The rest of the team, 16. They have 9 power play goals. Everyone else, 4. They're plus minus, plus 15. Rest of the team, minus 3. Shooting percentage, 23.8. Rest of them, 8.3. And they have 47 points. The rest of the team has 44. And you would think, well, that's a one-line team. Just shut down that line and you win. It's not that easy. Because you know what? Killorn is all of a sudden playing real well. As I said, Stamkos has woke up a little bit.
Yep.
And they're young, dude. I forget what day it was. I think it was when... I think I was on the way to my high-level meeting. And you were talking to Dehatchik. And you guys made the observation that this is... Get ready for this. Get used to seeing this. The Tampa Bay Lightning being a very good team because their coach is young. The players are young. They grew up together, in essence, in the American Hockey League.
Yep.
Their best defenseman is Victor Hedman. He's a punk. Their goaltender isn't old. We could be looking at... I don't know that this is the next Chicago Blackhawks. In you know, that sexy team that scores goals. It's like, man, imagine if that team played in our city, or how do you build that team? But they're kind of on that path, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Aside from the high level, I mean, Stamkos is, I guess, and Hedman. They don't have that Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, although maybe that's what we're looking at. I don't know.
Hey, I'd take Victor Hedman over Duncan Keith at his age, right? They're younger.
Mm-hmm.
Hedman's only getting better. Each year, he has been better than the last. Duncan Keith, unbelievable player, but it's not. If you had to start a franchise right now, you're not taking the guy that's, what, 30?
Yeah.
And for all the talk about Steven Stamkos, oh boy, well, he's starting to, well, maybe he's okay. The only player leading, there's more points than Stamkos, not on the Lightning, is Corey Perry. He's top 5 in league scoring in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's got 14 points
What's
in 16
happened
games.
To Stamkos?
He's almost a point per game.
He's second in league scoring.
Like it's Johnson, Kucherov, Killorn, Stamkos, 4 of your top 5 scorers in the NHL postseason. Only Corey Perry has interrupted those top 4. He's got more points than Getzlaf. So we can stop with the, you know, when Stamkos coming out of his coma talk. It's been fine. He had a rough first round. If you went from second round on, he's probably leading the league in scoring.
The Vancouver Canucks signed Jason Garrison and then dish him in a hurry because he didn't play well. He's been good for the Lightning. Anton Stralman, the find of the century.
Yeah, a lot of people were skeptical when they opened up the chest for him after one really prominent year with the Rangers to go all the way to the final.
Now, granted, who's he playing with? I think a true stud and a soon-to-be perennial kind of Norris Trophy guy in Victor Hedman. I really think that. I think that Hedman's going to be one of those guys moving forward.
Agreed.
But still, it's not that easy. So is Anton Stralman the Seabrook to Hedman's Keith? I don't know. You know what? Another quiet signing that was, I think, a good one for them is Brian Boyle. Don't underestimate having a 6'6 or 6'7 third line center. He's a big dude. He's hard to handle. Of course, the Rangers saw firsthand what he did for them last year. But Killorn, Palat, Ryan Callahan's kind of been a non-issue. Granted, dude had his intestines hauled out of him about 2 weeks ago. Valtteri Filppula, there was another kind of a unsure signing at the time. He's been strong. No one, well, basically... there's no passengers here.
Nikita Nesterov's been a guy I didn't know a lot about on the blue line that, I mean, making plays. There's a lot of guys you haven't heard of until you start watching the playoffs. Like, this is a good team. And Steve Yzerman, when are we throwing him in the top GMs in the league conversation? Because if it hasn't happened yet, here it comes.
Matt Carl gets injured. We'll see what his status is. He played just over a minute and a half last night.
Well, think about that addition they make at the deadline, how big that was, bringing Colburn in from Philly.
He played 17:55. Again, I Braden Coburn. I like Braden Coburn. Yeah, bring him here.
1 year left on that contract, I believe.
Bring him in. Pick him up. So the Rangers, I don't think they're done with this series. Here's the thing. They had a 2-0 lead and then trailed 4-2. They then tied it at 4. And then we're down, they fought back a number of times to get into this, including the Dan Boyle goal with just about 2 minutes left. They did score 5. They forced overtime. They fought back. They just need, odd to say, but with Lundqvist and Net, they need more saves.
Yeah, the concerning thing here, they scored 5. That's great. No. You blew a 2-0 lead, and you're the Rangers.
Yeah.
You win 2-1 games. You don't win 6-5 games. They cannot be allowing 6 a night to Tampa. They're just not. It's over if that's going to happen. You need a performance out of your netminder.
No question. Henrik Lundqvist last night, 34 saves. Just doing some math. 23 for Ben Bishop.
Bish.
We need the Bishop Nelson drop.
I'm going to go find that today.
Yeah? Could you?
Yeah, I could do that for you.
Not a bad day.
There'd be some bleeping out.
There definitely be, yeah. Don't run it live.
No, I'll give it to Jay.
He'll cut it up. Yeah. 6:39, Warner in when we come back. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Ah, Bishop Nelson, nice to see you.
Not a bad day.
Call a 25, Bishop.
Ah. Ha ha.
I don't get what you guys do with the Bishop Nelson all the time. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, is Nelson his middle name?
Who's Bishop Nelson?
Ah, Bishop Nelson.
There'll be a test. There'll be a quiz. Stay with us.
Dollar 25, Bishop.
God, a 25.
24th. Good morning, Calgary. 6:45. It's all coming down to a close here, pals. It's all coming down to a close. This is our last in-studio show before fall.
With Rhett Warner.
With Retro. You're away next week.
Do you have the violins here?
Are you here next week?
Yeah.
All right. So DeForest and I are here next week.
Gone again?
You're not here because you're done.
Checked out. That's it.
Yeah, you checked out for a while, I'll be honest.
I was going to say. Checked out or just not coming in?
Checked out's been happening.
Hey, you know
not
what?
Showing up is what's going
to
start.
Listen
happening.
To you.
Just teasing you, buddy. That's how it works. We give you the ribbing on your way out.
And he's taking another week off.
I'm not taking it. I'm working.
You're stupid, Rhett.
You're stupid, Rhett.
Jeez. Yeah, Pinder's holidaying again.
Not holidaying.
I don't know how you get all this time off.
I'm working.
What are you doing?
I'm in Toronto doing some fill-in stuff for a week. I'll be back.
Hey, if you're there next week,
yes.
Do me a favor. Tell the Globe and Mail I'm not moving to Toronto.
Yeah, I'll pass the hot tip along.
Just,
I got a buddy that works there when all this is happening. I'm like, could you get your buddy to shut up? He's really looking stupid.
Yeah, like if you could get David, just find David Schultz. Hey.
Shut your yapper!
He's not moving to Toronto. So it's it is bittersweet.
Oh, it's all sweet.
What breaking the band up.
What?
Oh, it's hard for me to say goodbye. I'm going to miss you, buddy.
I don't think you will.
I'll come to work. Hey, you know what? Look, I got my props out. Here they are.
Yeah, you keep slogging through the muck and the rain up the hills.
Enjoy your summer, bud.
Where were you Tuesday?
You can sleep in.
Where were you Tuesday?
I was at the Executive Royal Inn sitting in meetings about Rogers 2.0 and mission statements.
Synergy.
And where we're going as a company. One Rogers.
Silos.
No, that's okay. When, you enjoy your summer and you go off to Toronto and watch your Blue Jay baseball. You know what I'm going to do? Just keep plodding ahead. I'm going to, because you know who I'm here for?
What's in your hands there?
The These are my walking sticks.
Yeah, okay.
You know, sometimes when you're hiking, you need the stick.
Sure.
It's for traction, balance. I'm just going to keep forging on for our listeners here because you know why? Because I care. I care for our listeners here in Calgary and central southern Alberta.
Hashtag Boomer Cares.
Hashtag Boomer Cares.
We got to get that trending today.
That's right. What's up with your buddy Babcock?
I'm just...
Wow.
What is up with your buddy Babcock?
Well, what do you mean, what is up? What's he... 6 1/4.
What's he doing?
He's a confident man.
Oh.
See...
It's never been one of his faults, lack of confidence. So, he does believe he's going to go in and change the culture.
And he did.
We talked about this earlier. There's lack of confidence or not suffering from a lack of confidence. And then there's, I'm a pretty big deal. I think he's closer to being, I'm a pretty big deal than, oh, well, we'll give it our best shot. I'm confident we can make a change there.
Well...
Mike likes Mike.
Mike's a pretty good Mike, though. Mike's accomplished a lot. Retro, you know the man.
Yeah, I it's hard, right? Because it's kind of that fine line of, you're damn right I'm good, damn right I'm good. You know, it's almost
arrogance,
a
cockiness.
Yeah, it's almost just confidence. A tone of how, and you said it yesterday and cleaned it up. It's like, okay, now you're kind of, you're not going about this very good. This does not look good on you now.
It's a lot about you right
now. Yeah, and it's a lot about you, and it's a lot about you not understanding how you're looking and how it's making the Red Wings look or how it's going to make the other teams look. Or,
awful today.
Yeah, like.
Tell you what, though, if he doesn't, he's not getting paid. He knew this was probably the price to pay. To get that contract, you weren't going to leave Detroit with the parade and the people that pursued you and didn't
get
you.
Yeah, but
you
don't have
like
you don't have to make it a public thing that, and I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to announce on this day, and no.
He's not dragging it on for 2 months, and he hasn't made any public statements. It's just been leaks, so I don't know how he could be more quiet. I mean, maybe I'm way off.
How could he be more quiet? How could he have been? How could it have been more publicized?
He is who he is. What has he done to make it more publicized than it could have been, is my question.
The paparazzi's not following him around. If he wanted to get to Buffalo without anyone knowing, I'm pretty sure he could have.
Well, yesterday...
Look what the Flyers did with Dave Hackstall. Like, no one knew. Granted, it's a different level.
Totally.
But if he really wanted this to be quiet, because we don't always hear, they're now allowing teams to contact him, they're granting permission.
Where are the leaks?
They've been granted. They haven't been granted. It was very public.
Probably doesn't hurt that Toronto was one of the pursuing clubs, too, because of that massive media throng trying to chase everyone down for a scoop.
But
right?
Over the last 5 days, has it been anything about Toronto?
No, well, other than they were out of it?
I listened yesterday because we started to see some news on Twitter about this team is out, this team's out. Okay, well, there's not a lot of teams to begin with. So if a team's out, this is going to break soon. Like, we're going to find out where he's going. There were people in Toronto tracking the tail letters of the private jet for MLSE, where it was flying that day.
Well, that's
like, that's how deep it's going. Babcock's not telling people what he's doing, but that's how hard they were pressing to find info. Oh, it's flying to Detroit at 5:27.
Yeah, but no. Why did he go to Prague?
Well, everyone in the hockey world was going to Prague, World Championships.
He gets on the plane, he goes to Prague, he sits down with Ken Holland for a special interview with Darren Dreger.
Yeah, that was
he's
weird.
Doing interview, like, it just does, it's not sour grapes, I don't care. I still think he's a great guy and a great coach. I just found it was very uncharacteristic of what I thought he would have allowed to happen.
Imagine, though, if he did the big tour. I'm going to be in this city on this day, and show me around, and we'll drag this out for 2 months. I mean, if you... Put it in the perspective of a player, Rhett. It's not crazy at all. It's just that we've never seen this with a coach before.
And if you...
Yeah, but you don't... Okay, here's the gist of it, too. For me, he's a great coach. You can't argue it. If you want to argue it, good luck.
Yeah.
Coaches in the NHL can only do so much. This is not the NFL, and you compared it to the NFL, and lots of people have. This is NFL caliber cash for a coach. Coaches in the NFL go in at halftime and change the dynamics of the whole game and change
totally
the whole game plan and the systems and the whole. they make a huge, huge difference.
It's chess,
what,
right?
What have we talked about in the NHL playoffs, even when the Flames are playing? Don't worry about what the other team's doing. Make them play to your system. So you implement a system, have slight minor tweaks, and that's about it. You are not breaking down a game plan or a first period and saying, coming in with a whole wowing new, okay, we're going to run the ball instead of pass. There's only so much. And I just don't know, best coach in the world or not, Olympic gold medals, anyone could coach those teams. And he got handed a pretty good Detroit team when they won a Stanley Cup. And it's not, again, I'm not saying that he's not that a great coach, but he only had to do so much.
It's a lot for a guy with one cup.
I don't even, cup or not, it's a lot for an NHL coach. It's a lot for an NHL coach, and they can afford it, obviously, and I don't, good for him, awesome, $50 million, absolutely. Now, he better take me fishing, but I just think that there will be a huge target.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
He knows that.
Well, I don't care if he knows it or not. I'm just, there's, back to my point, there's only so much a coach can do.
Agreed. They're not a playoff team because he's here now.
Well, and we talked about it earlier. How much did he benefit from being in Detroit, where clearly the hockey world applauds them for the way they draft, scout, and develop? Now, maybe you can't take that team and do what he did with them, but that's not what Toronto does.
Next year, what place do the Detroit Red Wings finish?
They probably squeak in with a wild card or third in the Atlantic, just like we've seen the last couple of years.
They don't have Babcock, so even with with Babcock, where do they finish?
They'll be the same. Yeah.
So there, I mean,
Detroit, this was the easy decision to make because they've been grooming Blashill for a while. They've got an unbelievable management team. They stock the cupboard. They let kids mature. They're patient. I don't think anything changed for Detroit. This was not the right fit. Detroit was not going to set the bar because it's not worth $5 million to them. It's not. They're going to pay Jeff Blashill, what, $1 million if he comes in? Babcock's making six. That's easy. Easy decision there.
Again, it keeps coming back to money. I try and from where, and I say this, where does Jeff Blashill begin and Mike Babcock and, or, you know, what's the gap? I just don't know that.
Is he a 30 goal scorer?
How many wins is that gap now for the Detroit Red Wings? And I agree with you. I don't think that they are going to suffer mightily from the coaching void left.
And that's why it's kind of, again, scary. Not the right word, but interesting. Because Detroit, it'll be interesting to find out where they finish post-Mike Babcock. And it'll be interesting to see, well, how much influence can Mike Babcock have on the Toronto Maple Leafs? Because they need some influence.
Here's the one thing that I find immensely interesting with the Toronto situation. That was thought of pretty universally around the hockey world as a dysfunctional room with players that weren't accountable, that made so much dough and looked at coaches as expiring products that they didn't really have to pay attention to. He's now making more money in the first year, couple of years of this deal, I think, than anyone in that room. How does that change from a former player's perspective when that coach is making more than you rather than just he'll be fired in 6 months?
He's still just the coach. How do I know?
Tougher to tune out, though, right?
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but I actually don't think I ever tuned out a coach.
But did Toronto's guys? That's the question.
Yes.
So that's what I'm asking about. That room.
Ask it again.
Well, see.
Does the dynamic of him having an 8-year contract?
Not because of the money.
Though? Okay.
Not because of the money. The money, I don't think players go into a dressing room and go, I have no idea how much money a coach that I played for ever made. I have no idea. It could have been 10 grand. It could have been 10 million. I don't know.
See,
obviously, this is publicized, but I don't think that a player is going to base his respect and work ethic on the fact that, he's making more than me.
But you know what's also guaranteed is the player's dough. It's not like, I better pick up my socks here, or he's going to send me to the AHL. That's not happening because he's making 3 or 5 or 8.
It's almost more term than money, though, is what I'm saying, is that if you know, if you're looking at Randy Carlyle last fall, dead man walking.
Well, yeah, when you've
dead
got a
dead man walking, I don't care. And then, oh, they bring in another guy. Oh, great, okay, well, I'm not listening. Who cares? He'll be gone, too. They now know that this guy is not going anywhere. He's here forever, like 5 years minimum.
If that's what it takes to motivate players, and I don't think it does. I don't think that's any motivation. I really don't.
Because culture changes.
It gives them clout, but the idea of, you're not going, if you're winning because a player thinks that you're going to be there longer than him, that's not, he has to walk in and have the respect of the players, not
for sure,
based on anything other than I'm a good coach and you guys are going to listen and you're going to understand because we're going to win some hockey games.
Now, would it push a player to pursue a trade? It's like, geez, he's going to be here for a long time. I don't like it. I need to change. Maybe. I can see that. If Phil Kessel absolutely can't stand him, he's playing fourth line, whatever, then maybe it's, you know what, we need to make a change because clearly you've committed 8 years to the coach and we've also committed long-term.
7 years of Phil.
We need to find another way. I could be completely out to lunch, but between what he's making and the salary, that's easily the second or third thing to me. It's, can he win? Is he that big of a difference maker as a coach? Can he win, as you said, in the most voracious media market in hockey, let alone in Canada?
Yeah.
With the expectations of that team, they are, again, maybe one of the most irrational fan bases.
Entirely.
What difference can he make? Just as a coach, how long will it take for those changes to have an impact on the ice? To me, that's way more intriguing than whatever he's making as far as salary.
And the beautiful thing about this, the three teams that we'd heard the most about, Buffalo, Toronto, Detroit, all playing the same division. This is not going away anytime soon. There's going to be measuring every year, every 6 months, every month these teams are going to be playing each other. So that's a nice little tidbit. All the people in Buffalo, they're going to boo.
Playoff team, Toronto, when Carlyle got canned.
Yeah, they were going the wrong way. If they didn't get in, they're still going to miss. But yes, they were in a playoff spot. Last wild card, I believe.
Two or three years in a row where they were actually looked pretty good for half seasons.
Yeah, you're right. The spring swoon, right?
Yeah. So for all of us that have said, well, the Leafs are terrible and they suck and blah, 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 there is...
I don't know. Could they have hired Todd McLellan for 3 to 5 years?
At half price.
Easily half of that. Or name any other coach, right? If they would have fired him and brought in Barry Trotz a year ago. Or do you call up and say, hey, Dave Tippett, maybe on your last legs, we'll give you the third round pick, you give us Dave Tippett.
Would it
have made a huge difference in Toronto?
We'll find out.
Yeah. 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.